super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
We are at the Grindhouse tonight with our very special guest, Gary Striner from the original Night of the Living Dead. And Gary has a rather unique situation going on. And first off, Gary, welcome back to the show.
Well, great to be back. I had a lot of fun the last time.
Cool. And would you tell the fans exactly what's going on with the Save the Chapel deal?
Yeah. Well, this is the chapel in the Evans City Cemetery, which, of course, any Night of the Living Dead fan will know was in background scenes, reverse action scenes of when Johnny and Barbara get out of the car to go to the grave. So it was never like a featured location. It was just background, but it's pretty prominent in the opening scenes when they pull up in front, when they pull up and stop in the cemetery. So, it is is still in danger of being torn down. The Evans City Cemetery Association is a very small, tiny little group that just physically does not have the money to repair this building. And interestingly enough, I mean, the building never really functioned for them very well. I mean, they never had services in it and things like that. So it really became more like a caretaker's shed than it was some sort of chapel-ish monument. It's a very simple, plain building, but it is Evans City history, number one. We're still trying to get to the bottom of exactly when it was built. I'm told it was in the early 1920s. So it's getting up there and being near 100 years, and it was in Night of the Living Dead, and so whenever I caught wind of the fact that it was going to be torn down, I got into a board meeting of the Cemetery Association and pleaded the case that Night of the Living Dead fans would be more than happy to come up with the cash to fix it. So that's where we stand right now. They actually agreed to that, and they said they would give me a year to pull this off and make it happen. And so that's what we're into. I guess we technically started this September 27th.
Wow.
So we're, it's not all that old, but now, it's like, well, it's not just a week old. It's not just 2 weeks old. So we're into it, And the response has been pretty darn good. I mean, a lot of what that first month was just getting some sort of a structure together, I mean, it went from zero and zilch, nothing, to being this entity that's got tons of people volunteering, doing amazing things to get us a presence and get us out there to the world.
Hey, guess what, guys? I think Kyra's here with us. Kyra, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Sorry, Gary.
Kyra's here. Yay!
I couldn't find my phone. I was like, where's my phone?
It was lost.
It. Very good excuse, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Gary,
so, we're talking about the chapel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, a little. Not really. I don't really, well, obviously I don't know as much as you do about it, Gary. But I'm really pleased to see that so many people have rallied around the cause. And, the fact that we've been able to raise a fairly significant amount of money in a really short amount of time is a great thing.
Yeah, I was just in the process of sort of setting that up, and talking about it, and this kind of wonderful body of people that have come together to, just really be dedicated and loyal, and it's kind of crazy. We're talking about this Facebook group that we started. I had a Facebook group for the Living Dead Fest and pretty much abandoned it because I hadn't done the fest in 2 years. So this being the second year, and somebody actually, and the way this whole thing came about is really kind of ironic, because somebody sent me an email and said, "What's going on with the fest? Are you going to do a fest this year?" And I completely forgot about the fact that I even had a group. And probably hadn't been there in, I don't know, 8 months, 10 months, something like that. And I went over, and so there was like a couple lonely little, you know, messages over there, and are you going to have it? And I basically said no, that we weren't going to have it, but that if, you know, if I was going to put any effort forward, it was going to be to try to save the chapel. And within 3 minutes, get this post from somebody who says, "Well, if you want to get into the meeting, just let me know, because my mother-in-law is on the board." And so it's just like you talk about Facebook and how that, you know, social media can work. I mean, that is a classic example of it. So that was probably, I don't know, 10 days before the meeting or something like that. So I went down, you know, not really knowing what was going to happen. These people are kind of, had been in the past, a little bit terrified about Night of the Living Dead fans, and I think they were really afraid of them coming to the cemetery in mass, and they just felt that somehow the cemetery was going to get damaged, and it wasn't going to be a pleasant situation. That was, you know, in 2008 when I first did the festival. But anyway, went into the meeting, and it was almost like they were just waiting for me to show up so they could say, "Okay, well then you're doing it. Okay, let's go." I mean, it was really about that simple. There wasn't any, you know, real haggling with them or twisting their arm. I mean, they don't want it to go away. They just had no possible resource for fixing it. So rather than it being a liability, they were just going to knock it down. So anyway, that's kind of where it all started. And, you know, they had other concerns, too, because they said, "Well, look, you know, we don't use it. It's like, what, if you spend all this time and money and energy to fix it, what's going to happen there?" And it was just kind of so strange to me that they wouldn't have even the vague vision that it could become. The first thing that came out of my mouth, I said, "Well, first of all, you can hold weddings in it." And they just kind of looked at me, you know, and I said, "Well, yeah." I mean, I said, "What do people pay for a church to get married? I'm sure they pay $500 to, you know, have a church and all the whatever." So Night of Living Dead fans would love to get married up here. And as it turns out, we posted that on Facebook. And, you know, I'm really, if I mean, there were, we could start booking dates. Not only for people who want to get married there, but who would want to renew their vows there, you know. So anyway, I mean that's kind of it, and then it's just continued to grow from that point. And you know, I mean, we got people doing eBay auctions, people that are donating art to eBay auctions to raise money. We've got people creating posters on their own. Selling those off, all these wonderful little pockets of people using their imagination to, you know, raise money. We're in our infancy on this thing. I mean, we're really just now starting to get, you know, our structure really working and you know, having something. We got a website now, which we didn't have the last time I was on the show. So we have a PayPal button. People, you know, there's really nothing holding people back from donating at this point in time. So now, you know, what's happening right now, our website went up, I think, on Sunday. So now it's just trying to get the website, you know, working and functioning and doing all the things the websites are supposed to do. So, but it's
and you'll be putting the posters and things into the store on the website, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why ultimately, yeah, we have an amazing artist by the name of Terry Callen, has volunteered to do our the design for our T-shirts and posters, and that's just about, I think, you know, very ready. I saw just the, you know, the line drawing. He hadn't done any shading or coloring into it yet, and it's absolutely phenomenal. So I think those are going to be real big items, and yeah, we'll have a complete store with God only knows by the time. I mean, there's a calendar in the works, there's a CD in the works, there's just a bunch of things that people are, you know, very excited, musicians that are happy to go out and do a track and, you know, submit it, and we burn CDs, and, you know, we sell these CDs, and the bands all sell them at all their various conventions and functions and merch tables and all that, and they're all quite happy to just turn all that money back to the chapel. So, you know, we're really blessed. I think we're starting to get a lot of good press as well. You know, people are starting to seek us out because they're hearing about us, and that's always real nice, because that just means that some of the cage rattling you're doing is actually getting out to somebody, you know, because you kind of sit in a vacuum and you don't really exactly know what your reach is. You have 1,700 members on a, you know, a Facebook page, which maybe only 50 of them are really active. You know, what all those other people are doing, I have no idea. I hope they're just waiting to attack and buy T-shirts since they become available. But it's an interesting thing. Kyra, you're a lot more versed in, you know, I mean, you sort of run a business off the Internet and have run a business off the Internet in a way. So you're more versed on how all this stuff works than I am, really. It's just all kind of new to me.
Well, I'm still kind of a relative newbie to social media, though. But you know, I can certainly see there's a lot of power in it when you can rally a lot of people, you know, around a cause, then they can share things on their wall with their people. So it's, you know, it is sort of a viral world, and that's what we want, is, you know, for things to go viral about this, because the more people who post on their walls about this stuff, the more people see it, and the more, you know, money you'll get to.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's already.
Did you mention already the name of the website where people can donate?
I don't know if we have, but it is
www.fixthechapel.com. Yeah.
Correct.
Say that again.
It's fixthechapel.com.
Fixthechapel.com.
Yep.
Okay. So, anyone who wants to donate, fixthechapel.com. And yeah, we were talking before we actually went on the air about, you know, trying to work up maybe an auction, which I'm sure we can make happen at a certain location. I won't divulge yet, but I'm going to do my best to try to make it happen for you guys. So
yeah, that's the kind of thing that's just so great, because they don't really cost anybody any money. I mean, it does become a matter of in the case of the auction that you would be talking about, that, yeah, artists or collectors or whatever have to give up a piece in their collection or a piece of their art. But it doesn't seem like that's a real big problem. It seems like they all have something they would be happy to throw into the pot. And, you know, I mean, Derek Reed, who runs a Facebook group called Horror Conventions, has taken it upon himself to do an eBay auction. And it's amazing. You know, it's like, it'll, by the time it's done, and it's a few people's art, but it's you know, $300-$400, you know, here, and $300-$400 there. This other guy has done up like a mock-up paper poster of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and you know, he's going to print 25 of them, and he's going to sell them for $30 a piece. You know, the first four pay for everything, and all the rest is profit to the chapel. So I mean, that one little poster alone, you know, has the potential of bringing $600 into the chapel, and you know, that's pretty exciting. And you know, people can do. You know, people don't need a organization to even work around. You know, there's so many outlets like eBay and blogs and websites that, you know, this stuff can go on really very easily anymore. It's not tough. It's tough for somebody, again, like me. It's not tough. It's just learning a whole new world. You know, it's social media is something that's extremely powerful, but it's not without its complications. And again, they're not really even complications. Did we lose somebody?
Like we had just a weird noise there.
Right.
My house is creaking.
Yeah, no, it's about knowing and having the right people to say, okay, we're linking you up, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're making you your own YouTube channel. You know, someone has done that, so we have a YouTube channel. What is the YouTube channel? We're coming to fix you, Chapel. And tons and tons. I love the fact that just came to me today how much I love the fact how many artists are involved in donating their time and energy and work and material, and they're really good artists, and they're not just, you know, sort of wannabe artists. They're really good, accomplished, working artists that, you know, it makes them proud to know that some of their work, you know, can be involved in this effort.
That's very cool. And I'll get some stuff in the auction, too, and we get that going, too. I have a plethora of stuff that would work. Plus,
I love hearing that.
And if you ever see me do an auction, it's a sight to behold. It's an act in itself.
You're legendary. Yes, I've definitely heard. So, well... we have to get off of it, or I'm going to blurt a name, and it's not ready to be blurted yet. So what else do we have to talk about?
Oh, let's see. Kyra came in late, so we should make her talk about something.
How late was I? I'm sorry.
I don't even know. 10 minutes or so? I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's not
good. It wasn't horrible.
No, but... Oh, somebody also brought up the fact that somebody was thinking of restoring Night of the Living Dead, a frame-by-frame restoration of some sort.
Well, that's been something that, yeah. No, Yoko, I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, you take
this. Someone in the Save the Chapel group was talking about, wouldn't it be great if, you know, now we, you know, we're seeing some success with the chapel. I think that people are starting to get ahead of themselves, like seeing the power of the communal, you know, communal effort. And, you know, well, the next thing we should do after we fix the chapel is, you know, work on a frame-by-frame restoration of Night of the Living Dead. Well, you know, yeah, that's fabulous, except that Night of the Living Dead, if it's going to be restored, does belong to Image 10. And they would be, you know, the ones who would take on that sort of a project. It's not like, oh, you know, just random people are going to...
Right.
Or
that we're going to let the original negative... Or that we're going to let, you know, leave the original negative to somebody. The point is I mean, the sentiment is there, and it's a wonderful one. And, you know, that there has been... I mean, there's a guy by the name of Don May who did... Don did the cleanups on the last two. He did it on the what was it, the Millennium Edition, and he also did it on the 40th edition. So I mean, and that was just all off of digital.
Yeah.
And he's just been salivating to be able to do a restoration off the original negative. But there, you know, it's $100,000 plus job to do that, you know. So $100,000 is not a lot. $100,000 is laying around the although, you know, it's a crazy thing, and, you know, if we get 50 for this, we probably could get 100 to restore the film. But again, as Kyra said, let's get the 50 first, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we can move on to other things.
Yeah, we'll fix the chapel, and then we'll fix the rest of the world.
Okay, because exactly. as far as having weddings, Todd and I are ordained ministers, so you know we could pitch in with that.
I just got paperwork for me to become ordained as well.
Okay, so
I just think it's very how crazy is all that? You know, I mean,
did you get the 4295 package?
Well, no, mine was 89, but I got 89, but you get a card and a certificate. So
I got a card and a certificate.
Yeah, me too.
And yours is only $39?
$49.95. I got a card. I got certificates. I got marriage certificates. I got death certificates. I got all kinds of great shit.
Send me the link. I'm in the wrong neighborhood here. This is
yeah, really.
I had to go through a course online for 6 weeks. Pete didn't even have to do that.
I just made out a check and sent it in, dude. It was that simple.
You know, but hold on a sec. I mean, this has opened up a whole level of conversation that I never expected to get into.
I did a wedding at Wasteland.
Yeah.
I actually did a wedding at Wasteland. It was all legal and stuff in the state of Ohio.
Process
servers have shown up here yet.
There happen to be three people on this phone call that all have, two of them are already ordained. And one is considering it. Kyra, how about you? Come on, you want to get in too?
No, thanks.
You won't go that far for the cause.
they might need a woman's touch.
I think I'll say, you know, this is a plain old heathen that I am.
Well, that's the great thing about all of these. Well, at least the one I'm looking at. That's the great thing about it because they, you know, this is basically taking religion out of this whole pomp and circumstance, which is kind of interesting.
That's why I did it.
It's interesting that
really
there are
is what?
I mean, obviously, you're not really an ordained minister because normally people who are ordained ministers have to go to like a theological seminary or whatever, but isn't the whole like ordained minister by mail order just a scam? Because anybody can really marry anybody. You don't have to be ordained because it's not the religious ceremony or the civil ceremony that makes somebody married. It's a piece of paper from City Hall.
Yeah, but I'm blessed. You know, I did a miracle the other day. I made a blind man deaf.
We're all blessed, Pete.
Oh my!
Yeah. Well, you want a topic of interest? What do you feel about this whole football scandal and how horrible this whole mess is?
Disgusting.
It's yeah, really.
Despicable. Well, there's so many things about this that I don't understand. I mean, I'm so appalled that. First of all, that all these people aren't in prison, but how can you walk into a locker room, see a kid being sexually attacked by an adult, and not punch the guy out, and not at the very least call 911? I mean, what?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So they're following their protocol. That's maybe they followed the letter of the law in terms of their policy. But where is like the moral outrage? How could these people sleep at night knowing that this predator is fucking kids in the locker room?
Right.
Yeah, and then the students are rioting because they fired the coach. So what is the message sending? Don't fuck with our football games. Fuck with our kids instead.
That's all Penn State is about. That's all they care about is their fucking football program because that's what brings in all the money.
Big time money.
It makes me want to scream.
You give me that big bastard they nailed, put me in a room with him, and just give me one of my toys, and in 20 minutes, he'll be screaming in pain.
Yeah, no, it is crazy, isn't it? Within this one, there are those two gigantic social statements, that neither one of them have anything really particularly attractive or appealing to, a common decent society. To me, it's just like, the fact that, how many, They're rallying around Paterno because he is Penn State. You know, if it wasn't for Paterno, if it wasn't for a football coach, you know, he's brought that college so much money. You know, and it's like really, that's what it has to come to, a football program. Isn't it supposed to be an educational institution? You know, but anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just hard to even get started on it because it fries your brain. It locks it up because any logical mind has a difficult time even processing that information. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, it's just this.
But I honestly, I think that everyone in that chain of information, from the guy who witnessed the act on up, should go to jail. I mean, you know, firing them just isn't enough.
Because well, the guy
I think
that witnessed...
Keeping the secret, they're like accessories after the fact or something. I think they should all be charged with crime.
Well, the crazy thing is the guy that witnessed it is going to be on the football field this weekend. I mean, he's, you know, like I said, it literally locks my brain up. I have a difficult time even, you know, being able to process.
It just
boggles the mind.
Yeah.
Exactly. How about these kids who were raped by this guy, and they're seeing these idiots, you know, rioting because Joe Paterno's been fired? I mean, how must they feel?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, imagine how those kids feel. And this makes me sick. Well, I hate football anyway, and this is sort of...
Tell me about it. Everybody goes, welcome. You don't like football? And I says, I played it when I was a kid. I played it for fun. There was no egos involved. We beat the shit out of each other. Case closed. I don't have to watch it. Unless I'm betting on it, which I don't. So, I learned the hard way.
No, it's just... It's so corrupt, you know. Like, college football might as well be professional football because all that money is at stake, and that kind of money just tends to corrupt people. I think, you know.
Oh yeah, it's the whole jock mentality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say, "Oh, there's no class war in America." They start the class war at the school level with that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jocks can do no wrong, you know. They got to be in. Teams got to win, you know.
Yep.
Go go go! Rah rah rah! God, I hate that shit. Well, I think we're all heading that downhill slide. I mean, you know, we got a corrupt president. We got a bunch of assholes running for the Republican Party. I don't know what's next. You know, it's. But the big news was they convicted Michael Jackson's doctor. Who gives a shit? I don't care. I really don't care.
But again, that's another example of corruption. This guy was corrupted by the money that he was being paid. He was being paid $150,000 every month.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he just did whatever it took to make that money. He didn't care if he was killing his patient or not.
I don't see why you would kill off a cash cow like that, though. You know, it was accident. You know, there's so much weirdness that surrounds that whole family. And the bottom line was, they can say whatever they want about Michael. The bottom line was he was a twisted pedophile who basically got robbed of his childhood and was taken out on other people, you know? So.
Well, and, you know, I mean, basically, he's the center of it all. Yeah, I mean, he corrupts the whole situation with money, and he just buys whatever, you know, and... once again, another brain locker, you know. It's just like, why is this even in the news, you know? It's because it's
a diversion.
Power and money, which is just...
The whole thing amazes me, because that's front and center in the news, and then the minute there's something going on with the banks and Occupy Wall Street and this tent, we just found out Iran's got a nuke ready to launch or some crap. And I'm like, what are you people doing, you know?
Yeah.
This whole country's messed up right about now.
Well, it's beyond the country, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's everywhere. It's the whole world.
Yeah.
Well, it just finally came crashing in, you know, that time finally came where it got bigger than the ability to do anything about it. You know, I don't feel for one second that there's anything going on in Washington that's really going to solve any problems. They're going to put patches on things, and they're going to figure out how to float the boat a little longer, you know, but we still have all this amazing social issues in this country that aren't even being talked about. They're not even being brought up. Nobody even, they're just shoved to the back of the pack, you know. It's like, you know, what all these billionaires, how they shuffle their money around is a small portion of what's actually happening to, you know, to people in this country. And we don't care, you know. Just the welfare system is just bizarre, you know. How does it stay afloat, you know? It's, you know, it's just been so... Yeah, but what do you do about it? How do you eliminate the welfare system? You know, what are the repercussions of that?
Well, there's no jobs anyway, so you can't eliminate anything. I mean, that's another situation. You know, you got all these guys going to come back from overseas, and there's nothing to come back to. There's no jobs. So much for that false promise.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm retired.
At this point, if there's no welfare system, people will be living on the streets. Starving to death.
That's what I'm saying. It's created such a vortex that there's, and that's my point. Nobody's really dealing with how that's going to get fixed, and you know, how are you going to educate people, and you know, how are you going to bring the whole sort of ghetto level of, you know, our country out of that. How are children within that system going to be that want to, you know, come out of it? How are they going to be able to?
Think that's all the part of the plan of the 1%. I don't think they want educated kids.
They want a bunch of dummies.
No, exactly.
It's turning into a feudal system.
Right.
You know.
Oh, you see that too, huh?
I've been seeing it for quite a long time, and what they want is, a lot of serfs to do the dirty work and the heavy lifting.
Yeah,
I'm too old to be a serf.
Yeah,
I can't imagine being a kid right now. You know,
no, they robbed their childhood. Kids aren't allowed to do anything. They can't even go out and ride a bike without being padded in Kevlar, and they stick them in front of a computer, and then they don't even know how to socially interact with other people. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Somebody came up with this whole thing about how the government might go after the touring sites, and there's been behind closed door meetings with the people in Hollywood, and something about that if they find out that a lot of people have been putting something on Facebook, or they're coming up with all this bullshit saying that basically the government can shut down the internet at a given moment. And I'm like, you know something? Like, that would be a bad thing, because then people would actually have to talk to one another and actually use a phone for a change. So,
if they can find their phone.
Yeah. I had that problem too. I don't even have a house phone. All I got is a cell phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I have. Yeah.
I'm too cheap to get a house phone. But I go out and get dragons instead, so what the hell? Crazy.
How are your dragons?
Oh, they're wonderful. They're just settling in nicely. They were eating out of my hand the first hour I had them. They're just great. I mean, one of them just wants to hang out with me all the time. So he purposely starts fights with the other two, knowing I'll take him out of the tank, and then I'm stuck with him for a half hour. So,
where'd you put the eggs? Are they in an incubator?
I got them in the tank at 85. Mm. I don't really have an incubator. Like, you're going to go out and buy an incubator? No, I don't. I really don't want any more dragons, but I'm going to give them a fighting chance, you know? Because if all 14 of these things hatch, I'm screwed. What am I going to do with 14 lizards?
How much does a dragon eat?
That was a big thing too, because this whoever I got him from didn't have a clue what he was doing. He was giving him lettuce. It's like giving cotton candy to a baby. So I went out. I bought 50 crickets and I dumped them in, and they had like a smorgasbord of crickets. And then I got them to eat like collard greens and some squash and actually some dragon food I picked up. So they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is cool. Because if they don't eat, there's a real problem.
So they're vegetarian?
They're omnivorous. They'll eat just about anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I found a couple of worms in the backyard. I gave them to them just for treats, and they like them. So.
Do they eat mealworms, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about stink bugs?
Nah, you got to watch the bug. You can't really give them anything you find outside, you know, because it might, you know, might have parasites or something. But
I'll be contaminated.
I got 250 crickets coming in the mail tomorrow, so yeah, can't wait to open that package.
That's going to be a noisy package.
Yeah, it was cheaper that way because they were like 15 cents a piece at Petco, and I'm like, you know, something, this could get into money. So the vegetables
wow.
are right.
How far does one cricket go?
I don't know, but they sort of got a habit to balance themselves out because I'm all into natural diets and stuff, you know.
But would they eat three of them a day or one a day?
Well, I dumped 50 into a tank with three lizards, and there ain't no crickets left, so, I don't know, divide 50 by three.
Wow, and that was just a couple of days, right?
Yeah, so that ain't going to happen all the time, so I figured... Yeah, give them to them. What the heck? But they're eating basically anything I give them. Like I said, they came up and started eating slices of apples out of my hand.
Oh.
So, they're cool. I mean, they're like 8-9 inches now. I think they get up to 16.
Well, yeah, if you keep feeding them 50 crickets every couple of days, then yeah, next week they'll be 16 inches long.
Well, one of them's missing a foot.
Yeah,
I think I figured out why, because the one's got part of a tail missing and the other one's got part of a tail and a foot missing, and I figured, okay, the intact one must have been the one who beat the two of them up. Then the attacked one, I thought, laid eggs, so okay, now I know what the problem was. They were fighting over her. So,
yeah.
And they're still like glaring at each other.
Kind of like the crowds on 42nd Street, Pete.
Yeah. No, they puff out. It's weird. They stand up and all of a sudden it looks like they're growing a beard under their chin. It turns black.
That's really freaky.
That's when I take him out of the tank because I know he's pissed off. Yeah.
And then that's when you figure it's good to take him out of the tank when he's pissed off.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything to me.
You would want to put him in the tank.
Nah, even if he did anything, he's like, he's small. I mean, I've been bit by other things, so it ain't going to bother me. I had iguanas. They're even worse. Iguanas can just, like, turn on you for no apparent reason. These guys just want to hang with you.
Heck yeah. The thing is, though, man, I wish some people would puff up when they were, like, getting ready to blow. It would be a lot easier to deal with the public that way.
Like who?
I won't name any names.
Well, me? Me? I've been mellow all night. I haven't lost.
I know. You've really been mellow tonight. I'm just talking about in the past. Give us a warning sign. Puff up or something.
Well, you know, I was very angry then. So I'm not angry now. I live in Ohio. I'm mellow. I'm cool. I don't live near New York.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mellowed out.
The bad influences are gone. So
how long ago did you move?
I got up here in June.
Okay,
so,
you're in your first sort of half year.
Yeah, it's nice. Nobody bothers me. I love it. I even got to see Kyra last 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks ago I went down to see you at the that odd mall?
No, it was last week. It was last weekend.
Last week, okay.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Interesting stuff down there.
And that was the day that you were saying, I'm thinking about getting some pets, and then the next day you got the dragon.
Yeah, well, it just happened because I was thinking about it, and you go on Craigslist, you find just about anything as far as pets go, because people buy shit and they don't want to keep them after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, he says three bearded dragons. He said he had them for his kids lost interest. He said they're only a year old, which told me they were little, so little did I know. So before I even emailed the guy, I went around a corner to flea market. I found a used 20-gallon tank for $6. So I figured, okay, they're small. I can outfit this out. So I go over there, and it's like, okay, you want $75 for the three of them, which is a really great deal because you figure, these are like $60 a piece for the little ones in Petco. So as soon as I saw the setup and saw he had no UV light, he was feeding them lettuce and crickets, I'm like, I'm taking them all just to get them away from you. So that's how I got them the next day.
Cool. You're like Hagrid. The Hagrid of 42nd Street.
Hagrid. What's the Hagrid?
It's a Harry Potter Hagrid. Reference, man. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pete does not do the Harry Potter.
No. Yeah, well.
I know.
Amanda's
somebody will get me to do it.
She's getting the new Harry Potter tonight at midnight. Amanda is. She's sitting here all ready to go, Pete.
What? Is a new Harry Potter coming out?
Yeah, the second part of the Deathly Hallows. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People are really into that stuff, huh?
I no accounting for taste.
Great.
Why? You're into the Harry Potter?
No, not really. I'm not really. Yeah, I guess it's okay. It's fun for kids, I think, but I just thought it was kind of slow. I really was kind of bored.
Okay. So that tells me I won't like it.
Don't let me detour you. You know, I'm kind of nuts.
I love them. I love the books. I thought they were great.
There you go. See, Kyra's got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's no shootouts or murders or anything like that.
Oh, there are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Harry Potter actually kills somebody?
Shooting wands and stuff instead of guns. But, yeah, people die. People die. They're pretty... The longer they went on, the darker they got.
Wow. Weren't they supposed to end that or something?
Yeah, it's over.
It's over?
Yeah. But the last DVD is coming out.
Yeah, at midnight.
Oh. Wow. Well, why
How many are there? Is there like six?
Well, there were seven books, and then they split the last movie into two parts.
All right. Imagine the revenue off of that puppy.
Oh yeah, it's like the Kill Bill thing. Kill Bill was actually supposed to be one movie, and they figured, well, if we cut it in half, we can double our money.
I think it was almost like they figured no one would sit through 3 hours, and they were almost right, because with Grindhouse, here's a great thing, a wonderful thing, and it was no one wanted to sit there for 3 hours. So I think that's why.
Because Tarantino's part of it dragged. That's why nobody wanted to sit there for 3 hours. I could do it because I'm conditioned to do things like that because I've sat in actual grindhouses.
Exactly.
But his part just dragged. It was all talk, which I don't, you know, it was interesting for a while, but it went nowhere. So that's why.
I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but Night of the Living Dead was my first childhood memory of a drive-in theater.
Whoa.
Yeah, my mom took me to see that. Yeah, isn't that something? It was on a double bill with, a triple bill, actually. It was The Boy Who Cried Werewolf, that movie with Dirk Benedict where he turned into a snake, and Night of the Living Dead. And I got to tell you,
I love that.
Those are
great movies.
They are great movies, and they all changed my life, especially Night of the Living Dead and The Boy Who Cried Werewolf. I was always a werewolf freak, and I loved them, and The Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr. And then I was introduced to zombies, and I was pretty darn young. You know, I was like 4 or 5 years old, and I remembered that forever, and it kind of, you know, stayed with me. My old childhood, you know, I always read the monster books and the monster magazines, Famous Monsters of Filmland and things like that. And I was always like, every time Night of the Living Dead would come back out, because they would bring it back out to the theaters, because back then we didn't have the whole video cassette boom even yet. So it would come back in theaters every few years, and I'd rush down and see it. And I remember it even played on a double bill with Texas Chainsaw, the classics are back, you know, kind of thing. And man, it was really great. And it had such atmosphere, and it was so chilling. And as a child, of course, it just scared the daylights out of me. And it was all because of you guys, because really no one knew what you guys were doing was going to be that powerful, I don't think. And Kyra, you gave me nightmares, man, because I was like, you know, first of all, I kind of had a childhood crush, because I'm like, hey, here's a chick that's kind of cool, and she's a monster too. But but it's also like, you know, I also had a childhood crush on Linda Blair, which goes to show you, when you're a monster kid and you have no taste. You're 9 years old, you know, you like all the monster chicks. It just happens that way. But I was like, holy cow, man, you also scared me so bad. And that image stayed with me more than any other image in the whole darn movie, was the image of you with the garden trowel going after mom. I mean, that was just so powerful. And I just want to let you guys know that really, if it wasn't for that movie, I probably wouldn't have set forth on the path I've been on my whole life, which is being a monster kid and doing all the things I love.
And not making any money like the rest of us.
Yeah, that part kind of stinks, but you know what? At least I'm enjoying my life.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Is Gary still on?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's still difficult for me to, you know, to process those comments, you know? I mean, we hear it a lot, obviously. You know, if you get out amongst the fans, it's, you know, you hear it a lot. And I guess in a way, it's just difficult for me to comprehend all that, having been part of it, you know, and
right.
knowing from day one that it was a movie, you know.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, never probably having the opportunity to appreciate it the way, you know, a fan would. How could I? You know, how could you be involved with it and appreciate it like someone that just saw it totally finished and complete and
right.
didn't know any of the in between. So
that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was two films that basically impacted my life and influenced me, and Night of the Living Dead was the first one, because I saw it, you know, like I said before, on its second run in 60, it came out in 68, it was on its second run in 69 on a double bill with Slaves, and I saw it then, it scared the shit out of me so much that I went back and saw it the very next day. And the other one was The Wild Bunch, because I saw that and I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and I just sat through a second showing the same day. So, you know, those were the two that just really knocked me for a loop and really influenced me, and, you know, in a lot of things, you know, my tastes in movies and, you know, just following American cinema in general. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were lucky to get to see it in its original form, you know. I mean, so many people. Now now that we can see it digitally on the big screen, it's sort of the same, but it's not the same. I mean, there's nothing that's the same as a 35 millimeter print.
I agree.
It is all the ticks in the track, you know, and the dirt on the film, and
I love
you know,
that. Yeah,
all that's all the patina, you know. Although I have to say, Kyra and I just 2 weeks ago, there were some benefit screenings for the chapel in a little town near us called Villanople, and you know, it was fun to see it on the big screen and clean, and you know. But I also, Kyra, you didn't? Did you do the first Saturday Nightmares? I don't think you were there.
Yeah, the first one I did. Yeah.
Right, and but anyway, they held it in an old. A real old theater in Jersey City. Oh God! I just sat, and it was all the old equipment. The theater was really pretty run down. In fact, in a lot of ways, I don't know how they got occupancy permits to even be in there. But you're in this old theater, huge big old theater with one big ass giant screen and the Altec Lansing speakers, and you know, and I sat there like a little kid. It was just every pop, every piece of dirt, every, you know, spliced over place where it had ripped, you know. It was just glorious. I loved it.
Yeah, that's the way it should be right there. I agree.
Yes.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. See, that's funny because, you know, you talk about how unpristine the film was. I was over at Ken's house Halloween night, and we watched the restored version of The Exterminator, and I'm sitting there going, what the hell did they do to this? It's too clean. It's like, okay, they threw in a couple of the more violent scenes that had been trimmed out, but they threw in this romantic subplot that was going on between Christopher George and I can't remember the other actress's name, and I'm like, you know, there's a reason they take certain stuff out, because the ideal grindhouse film should run about 80, 90 minutes, and that's it. That's the attention span. But just the way they had cleaned it up, even the scenes of 42nd Street looked too clean, and the scenes of people interacting one-on-one looked like the after-school movie on TV, and I'm like, what the hell were they thinking? It's like, the reason a lot of this stuff worked was it was gritty and dirty, and now it's like sparkly clean, and I'm like, I never want to see the movie again. I don't.
Well, I was going to mention that earlier when that subject of you know, doing frame-to-frame restoration on night, and, you know, I forget about that, just pull another good print off of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, let's see it again, you know? And, you know, I mean, anybody's guess what that negative is like at this point in time, but typically that stuff stays pretty good for a pretty long time, you know?
Right.
And wouldn't it just be glorious to be able to you know, have a half a dozen prints around it. It would be clean because it would be a new print, but it would still have all the texture in it still, which I totally agree with doing all this digital cleanup. To me, it's the same as, you know, digital scrubbing music. It's just right. No, it's terrible. Just all too clean, all too right. I hate it.
I'm hoping that they do a Blu-ray just straight off that negative. I agree with you, because that would be the closest you're going to get to seeing it the way it was, you know, in the day. And I know they've got a Blu-ray out there. Someone put it out, and I thought it was awful because it was just like a up conversion of a DVD. And I'm like, that's not any good. Go and get that dang original negative, or at least get a first generation scratchy print and put that sucker on Blu-ray. You know, let's have fun with it.
Right.
What else can you do to it, though? I mean, you know, realistically, what else can you do? You know,
you got to just put it out there in its original format. Let us love it. You know, it's like Frankenhooker. That thing's all beat up and got.
I love it anyway. Like I said before, when I got my VCR, I went over to New York to Video Shack at 2 o'clock in the morning, because that place was open till like 3, and plunked down $59.95 on Night of the Living Dead and Assault on Precinct 13.
Both great,
yeah,
fantastic movies.
It'd be nice to push some of the other crap that's been done off the shelves. You know,
well, knock it down.
Good.
I agree.
Plug the website again.
Yeah,
www.vicsthechapel.com. Also can be reached on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. It's the Living Dead Fest, or you can get to it by searching Save the Chapel too. Really a good group on Facebook. It's fun. It's informative. There's always people coming up with something, just out of the talk about crazy things. This guy said, I worked for the turf farm company that bought that land. And he said, I worked for the turf farm, and we tore the house down, you know. So we now know a guy that, you know, was involved with tearing it down. We know how it happened. You know, we know they kind of just bulldozed it all into the center and, you know, lit it on fire. But the crazy thing about it is this kid grew up as my neighbor, and I never knew him. It's like, wait a minute, your father is Bill Waldron? That means you grew up right next door to me, and I never knew. It's such a crazy world. But that's kind of why you come to the country. You know, you don't, it's not to be in everybody else's business. So that part isn't so ironic, but it's just that this guy, after all these years, has surfaced, and now here is someone that can actually account for the fact that the funny thing that I keep thinking about is that, like, truthfully, you know, this could be given not the chapel a new life, it could be given it its first life, you know, because it was built and then never used. So actually now it could get all stiffed up and be very proud and open its doors and windows and, you know, invite people in. So I'm looking forward to that time for sure.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I want to thank you guys for coming on and sharing this with the fans, and hopefully it'll generate some more interest in it. And I'm sure before it's all said and done, we'll have you guys back on again. So until next week, we'll see you then. Stay sick. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
Later.
You're welcome.